CliffCentral.com.
All right. Good morning, everybody. We are here. We are live. It is Wednesday. It is the 18th of November, CliffCentral.com. And for those of you who are into cryptocurrency, it's also $18,000 for a Bitcoin.
Oh.
Yes, yes. Approaching those numbers at the very peak once before. It was 20-something. So this is really good news for anyone who's invested in Bitcoin. But for many people, it'll be fucking irritating because they'll be looking at this going, oh, I sold mine because I thought it was going to go down. So there we go. See, this is why we try to give you good advice here. Try to get the smartest people in the world to help us figure out the way forward. And it's a beautiful day. It's summer. It's feeling good. It's everybody's hopefully ready for a little bit of a break. We actually had a meeting at the office yesterday, and we discussed everybody's plans for December, and CS thinking of going down to Durban with the family. In fact, he's even wearing a vest today to start. Wait, where's Sia gone? Hang on. For some reason, I went out of the room. Oh, that's very embarrassing. By out of the room, I mean like... Ah, there we are. I'm back. Hello. Can you guys see and hear me?
I can hear you. Yes. Can hear you.
Sorry, I don't know what happened there. I kind of went off. So this morning we got Michael Flax back with us. How's it, Flax? How are you doing, dude?
Morning.
I can't complain. Put all the worries in the pockets and life's actually not that bad.
Oh, already, yeah. Sounding lyrical.
Yeah, no. Flax had some pearls earlier this morning when we were testing the line just now. He says to me, it's a good day to have a good day.
Yeah, I think we should wake up every day and just like think about the positive things. Like yesterday I woke up and I thought it was really going to be a bad day because like one bad thing happened. And all of a sudden I literally like walked inside the house from having coffee outside. And next thing, like good things just started rolling in. Like, you know, like when you need a doctor's appointment, I needed an orthopedic surgeon for my knee because I busted it up in soccer. And like my physio
please,
was
hold
like,
on,
no.
Just hold on 1 second. You'll want to talk, Mr. I tore my hamstring, Sangweni, please.
Yeah, no, that's why I'm saying, because I feel that pain right now.
Yeah.
So my physio is like, give the doctor a call. There's probably like a 3-month waiting list. So I give the doctor a call.
Yeah.
The lady literally goes, I'm so glad you called because 2 minutes ago, someone actually canceled their appointment for tomorrow morning, which is today. So I don't have to wait 3 months.
Yeah, that would have hurt, Flax, if you had to wait 3 months. And often when you do that, it gets worse, right? Because you haven't treated it properly and you don't know whether you're doing the right thing or you're running on it or whatever. And then it becomes a problem. I mean, I was talking to a friend of mine yesterday. Now, I've never owned horses because... I mean, I can ride a horse, but I'm not into that much. I mean, it's nice to do. It's fun. I've had girlfriends who are horse riders, but horses are damned expensive. So this friend of mine, I had dinner with him and some other people last night, and he's saying to me, Jesus, he has this horse that's lame, and now he has to have it driven up to Joburg. He's going to take it to a vet. The least he's in for is 25 grand. Cool. The least.
So lame is a technical term for it's
well, when
sickly.
No, lame means one of its legs or feet don't work so well. So it's having trouble walking, running. There's something wrong with its gait. So he's now going to, at a minimum, he's going to spend 25 grand, and he says it's probably going to be a whole lot more than that. And what they do, he was explaining to me again because I'm not well versed in these things. He was saying they. Because a horse can't tell you where it's sore, they have to stick these needles into the poor thing and and figure out where the problem is. That's just terrible. And, of course, at the end of all of this, unlike a human, if the horse does have a problem and if it is, you know, really lame, then there's no point. And, you know, you pay for these horses, you stable them, the food is very expensive, the training is expensive, you've got to groom, all of that stuff. And he said if it's obviously bad news, really bad news, and there's nothing we can do, then he has to have it put down, I suppose, or retired if it's not so bad. If it's having trouble walking or if it continues to be lame, then, you know, that's not good. So, you know, just like with us humans, animals also have these problems, and they can't say when they're sore. So good that you get to go to the orthopedic surgeon. You can say to him, listen, it hurts a little bit here, or this is what I did, or, you know, so Sia with his with his hamstring and Flex with his knee. You two are sounding like the old people in the show today. I'm the one who, I've got no aches and pains for a change, so I'm just going to shut up before I tempt fate.
Do you remember when Sia had that, like, heart issue where he had, like, bruising of the ribs, and then he gave it to me, and I had to go to hospital having a heart attack?
Osteochondritis?
Oh, that was the worst experience ever.
I nearly died, okay?
I died and came back to life.
Look, let me tell you, the sad scene last night, I was in, like, I had to ice my leg down because of the strained hamstring, because now I was given the advice, you need to ice it and then you put a patch on, because these patches that you put on are hot, so you need to swap between hot and cold, and that brings circulation, you know, back properly. And
it is so funny. It's just, I'm reveling in the fact that you two, who are like in your 20s, I mean, Flex, you're not 30 yet, right?
No, 28.
No. So young, you two in your 20s, and you're like, fucking sore knee, got a dead torn hamstring.
It is so horrible.
Good chondritis. I'm like, Jesus, yes. Yeah, fantastic. I'm taking serious schadenfreude out of you two being miserable, having aches and pains. All right.
Look,
so,
I was so close to asking my roommate to help me last night. And then I thought, I think this is officially where you cross the line, or rather where you shouldn't cross the line.
Yeah.
Where one now has to get close up to my ass. So I thought, no. But you know what, Gareth? Here's the difference about us youngins having illnesses or aches and pains. In a week's time, this will all be over.
Hey.
Once you cross 40, that recovery becomes like 2 months, and it's not the same.
I've never had anything that lasted more than a couple of days, so touch wood.
Now, remember when you fell down those stairs?
Oh,
that was a couple of weeks.
You know, that was like a back thing, but it was gone fairly soon. Listen, now I'm fine. So I'm just not
thinking
about
it. It was a foot thing
now.
That became a leg thing, that became a back thing.
All right. Sorry. I'll just go and book my room at the old age home right now. I'll just go and make sure it's ready for me. Fuck. All right. So listen.
Fine, I won't.
Couple of things. First of all, this is just on the story I was telling. Carl says, "Hi, boy. 25,000 rand for that horse. I'd put my grand down for less." Well, Carl's a nice chap, isn't he? Beyonce saying, "I'd love some horse meat." So we've obviously got the most thoughtful, kind audience in the world. Anushka says, "Sia is looking super butch this morning. Hey now."
He's got a tank top on.
Yeah.
Is that a compliment?
What is that?
No, it's a compliment. Ready for summer.
Peter says, "It's a wife beater." That's a wife beater, Sia. Nice wife beater, says Peter. So there's
wife beater sounds like I need to own a caravan, so I don't know about that.
Flex, people are always excited to see you back on the show. So Basitsana says, it's Flex. Fantastic. So there's lots of messages pouring in. Yeah. If you want to get hold of us this morning, as you can every other day, all you have to do is message us on 0797482090. That's the WhatsApp line, which we're always monitoring, making sure that we get all your messages. And you can also watch the show live, which a lot of people are doing day by day. That number's growing, which is fantastic. You know, some people for some reason need to see us. I've always preferred just kind of doing the show like a radio show. But if you want to see us, then you can do that too. Just follow the link on cliffcentral.com. We should have warned Flax that he was going to be on camera this morning. You didn't tell him?
I think it's so dope that you guys have now introduced this into the website. It's like the coolest thing ever.
Yeah, we should have done it years ago, but I was just against it because I'm an idiot. People shouldn't listen to me.
No, because it's also, it changes the dynamic. You are right, though.
Yeah, it does. Totally does. I mean, there really are some things that... I suppose I should be more in favor of, and just because I'm a bit of a traditionalist in some of these respects, I miss out on opportunities. So you got to get your head right around them. Anyway, so here's somebody who tells me that Twitter kicked them off. Leon, he says, "All I did was send the real Donald Trump a short message. You're a cunt, and Twitter made this scene about it." So this is Leon, who said that he didn't like Donald Trump, clearly, and then he got thrown off Twitter. Wow. Okay. That's interesting.
Isn't there freedom of speech or something? Or is that like...
Well, no.
Yeah, you would think so. I mean, yesterday they had these hearings in the Senate in the U.S. where Mark Zuckerberg and Jack Dorsey, Zuckerberg from Facebook and Instagram and Dorsey from Twitter, they had to testify in front of the Senate. Because the Senate are trying to figure out whether or not they are platforms or publishers. Now, this sounds like a small difference, right? It doesn't sound like an important thing. But it's massively important because if you are a platform in America, then you are not responsible for the content that your users post. But if you're a publisher, you are responsible for that content. That's why you can sue a newspaper, for example, if a newspaper publishes defamatory information about you. So let's say they say Flex is a animal abuser, right? And they put a headline in the paper about how shitty Flex is. Then he can sue that newspaper because it's not true. And because a newspaper has a responsibility not to publish inaccurate or false information,
mm-hmm.
right? So you can go after them in a lawsuit. But a platform can't be chased down the same way. So it's really important that we know whether or not Facebook and Twitter and Instagram are platforms or whether they're publishers. Now, the minute they get involved in censorship of any kind, so let's say that they approve a message that Sia says because they politically agree with Sia, but they don't agree with Flex, and they censor Flex's tweet. Then they're effectively playing the game of a publisher, and that changes the rules. So if the Senate decides to reclassify Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter as publishers rather than just platforms, then they start to incur all kinds of legal responsibilities, which will change their business models completely. And you'll see those share prices tank. So, you know, don't believe that big tech is out of reach of the politicians, because this is what – I was always afraid of this because I like the idea of companies being as far away from government as possible. So government can't make the rules. But when those platforms behave in ways that get in the politicians' way, if it starts to interfere with what the politicians do, of course they're going to start turning the screws. You know, they're going to be forcing those platforms or publishers, depending on what you think they are, to comply with certain rules. And that's what they're doing now with Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. So we may see some serious changes in the next couple of months. Remember, what they've been accused of here is interfering in the election because they were allowing certain stuff and not allowing other stuff. They were fact checking certain stuff and not fact checking other stuff. So that's playing the role of a publisher, and they may have just shot themselves in the foot.
How come Jack Dorsey and Mark Zuckerberg are the ones going to court? Like, you own this massive company. Surely you have, like, lawyers and that, and you can just chill in the Bahamas?
You see, when you – yeah, you can, but they are both the CEOs still of their respective companies. And therefore, they are ultimately the ones who are responsible. And the Senate doesn't want to hear from some bureaucrat three-quarters of the way down the company. This is the United States Senate. These are the people who make the laws. So – they want the big boss. They want the person in charge and the person who can make decisions to answer for what their companies are. They're also the founders of those companies, and therefore they were the ones who created these platforms out of nothing and now are responsible for them ultimately.
I just wonder how far they saw this going, or what they really thought about it, or what I think is truly happening is – things just ran bigger and wilder than they thought it would be. At first, I thought perhaps they were thinking, oh, yeah, we'll just be able to control this here and there. But now they have this beast that I don't even think they fully have their heads wrapped around.
I mean, listen,
were they thinking? Blocking certain people and leaving certain people meeting this and not.
This is what always happens, is that there are people who will say, oh, but we're trying to keep people safe. Like, you know, if there's a hate group, for example. On Facebook, let's say a bunch of white supremacists get together and decide to go on a march and like beat up black people or whatever, then Facebook has a responsibility to take down that group, right? You would think. And that's probably something that some people would argue for and against, because some people will say, well, you can always start a group that's anti that group. And, you know, the old saying of the solution to free speech problems is not less speech, it's more speech. So don't censor people. Get more people involved in the conversation so that the most intelligent viewpoint wins. I don't know. I wouldn't want to be in that position either, Sia. I wouldn't want to be the one who had to decide on these things because, see, it's not like, let's say Donald Trump, who's president of the United States, he tweets something and it causes some trouble. You know, you can argue that he's inflaming tensions or he's creating divisiveness or he's bringing into question the election system in America, whatever you want to say about him, because that's what people are saying on the other side of the aisle. The fact is, it's not Jack Dorsey's fault that Donald Trump's saying that stuff. Donald Trump's saying that stuff. So either you let people say their thing or you shut them down. You can't have some space in the middle where Jack Dorsey becomes the guy who decides what you and I should see. Frankly, I'd rather see the terrible people saying the terrible things, even if they cause trouble, because then I know who to avoid. Leave it to me to decide, right? Ultimately, that's the best way to go. But some people think, no, we've got to control this stuff. There's got to be government regulation. And let me tell you something. That's a dangerous road to go down. The minute you let the government start deciding things, it's very hard to get them to stop.
So what are the possible outcomes of these hearings? Or is it a fine to Twitter or Facebook?
No,
hypothetically, do they have to change their rules?
The best case scenario for them is that they get a slap on the wrist and government says to them, the Senate says to them, listen, you guys better stop censoring people who you don't agree with. And we want to see objectivity in your policies and your terms. Or the worst case scenario for them, and there's obviously a range of stuff in between, but the worst case scenario for them is that the Senate reclassifies them as publishers, and then they are responsible for every single thing that any user says, which could bankrupt those companies, let alone destroy their value. I mean, I don't know how many people are going to take the chance. Imagine if I just let anyone who wanted to have a show on Cliff Central, including, you know, sexists and racists and misogynists and homophobes and whatever else, come on the show and have their own hour to just spew violence and vitriol and hatred. I can't be responsible for that. There's no way I'd allow that. As much as I'm for free speech, you have to have, you know, you have to have some conditions to that free speech. Otherwise, people will abuse it, and then there will be consequences, and someone has to bear those consequences. So if, at the worst case scenario, they do decide, okay, you don't have any special exemptions, you are now a publisher, then if Sia goes on and he says, you know, defund the police, and people in Sia's neighborhood decide to come over to his house with a crowbar and smash him in the head because they disagree.
Yeah.
Suddenly that becomes Facebook or Twitter's fault. Or certainly they can be held responsible for it, you know. So there are all kinds of things that come into play here that will make it very complicated for them to navigate the way forward. But we'll have to see. Emmanuel says, thank God Gord isn't on today, so they're very happy you're here, Flax, instead.
Thank you.
but, you know, I mean, this is, Emmanuel, there are people who love Gord, there are people who hate Gord, then there are people who love Flax, there are people who hate Flax, there are people who love Damon, there are people who hate Damon. Everybody who comes onto the show, someone has a like or a hate. But Emmanuel's from the Democratic Republic of Congo, and he says he's got enough noise in his back garden. He doesn't need Gord's headaches. Being brought on. Peter agrees with him. And then Anushka says, oh, this is terrible. This is the reality starting to get. You know, I saw the guy who started Marble, the chef, David Higgs.
David Higgs,
what a good guy. I saw him last night because this was where we had dinner. And he was telling me, you know, at some point during lockdown, he also had to retrench some staff because there just wasn't enough business and they weren't allowed to open for a long time and they didn't have the ability to sell drinks, and that's where you make a lot of your margin. And it just suddenly hit me. And then Anushka sent me this message this morning because he says, you know, David said, we're still going to feel this next year. And I agree with him. I mean, next year people are really going to come to terms with the fact that the economy has been smashed and broken into 1,000 pieces. And a lot of people are just coming out of lockdown now and they think the worst is over. It's really not. The pain is still ahead for a lot of businesses. Anushka says, when I go to work today, I'm going to have to retrench 6 people out of my team of 16. She says, the impact of COVID-19 lockdowns is becoming real for me. Imagine HR telling you this right before the December holidays. These people have small kids, they have families. My heart is so heavy. I think 2021 is going to be a difficult year. Stay positive, guys, and please hang in there. Well, Anushka, you got a tough job today. Good luck. That's all I can say. Damn.
Yeah,
Sharon says, such good-looking boys make for a fine morning. Well, there we go. Sia and Flax, a compliment for you.
Thank you very much.
Peter says, I hope they nail those platforms and their crazy censoring. Twitter is useless crap anyway. Yeah, I mean, look, it's about time that they... You see, you can't make billions of dollars and then get special exemptions where ordinary businesses that are not billion-dollar businesses have to be responsible for their actions and the actions of their users. So maybe there's an argument for what Peter's saying here.
Do you know what would be a nice addition to Twitter and Facebook? I'd go on there. Well, I go on there less because there's so much negativity on there, and I hate being surrounded by negativity. Like, you could literally wake up in the morning and open Facebook or Twitter, read a negative comment, and that dictates your entire day because you're now in a negative mood. They should have sort of like a filter where you could literally just have positivity or positive things on your platform, like puppies or whatever, and just delete all the negativity.
Well, they've got algorithms that can make that happen. I mean, if they can serve you stupid ads about everything that you've been thinking about or looking up on Google for the last week, then they can certainly, you can have a positive block, you know, or a negative block where you can actually say, switch a little switch on, and then all the negative stuff just gets pushed right to the bottom.
Well, I think people don't make use enough of the mute buttons and blocking of words. I have a delightful time on social media. There's so many people who I am friends with, and I'll hear that they post certain things, and I go, no, actually, no.
Do you have a long list of words that are blocked?
No, more people blocked than words. Nothing personal, but even just people in my personal circle who are pleasant, but they, you know, they'll always post these long statuses. I'm like, no, I don't want to hear about what your cat has now done over the weekend and how you had to go over to the neighbors and try to look for the cat. And then you came back and you stroked the cat for 3 hours, realizing how blessed you are. No, sorry.
But those people aren't being negative, Sia. So it's hard to filter those ones out because they're actually being positive. They're having a good time and they love their cats.
Just people.
I've never understood how some people share so much about their life on social media. Like, they're literally like an open book. Their emotions, their divorce, their this. I'm just like, some things you need to keep private.
Just be careful, though, because, I mean, we're all, you know, we talk about a lot of shit on this show that is that is probably private. And so I don't want to sound like a hypocrite. You know what I mean?
But, like, I follow someone on Facebook, and I'm going through the divorce with them. I literally know everything about this divorce, what he's done, and everything.
No, that's
like, she's asking for lawyers on the thing, and I'm just like, I'm following it because it's intriguing me.
Yeah,
I want to see where it ends.
Yeah, it's the drama. But a friend of mine actually messaged me this morning to say he's getting divorced, which I thought was pretty hectic, you know?
Oh, no.
Yeah, he's not a close friend or anything, but I kind of know him through social media. And, you know, anyway, he's getting divorced, which is it is. Every time you hear that, it's like it's so hectic because previously you'd only find out when you saw them again. You wouldn't before social media, you wouldn't be part of their story. You know, they'd see you in 3-4 months time. I mean, we're not the kind of friends who see each other all the time. So I would have seen him maybe next year and I would have said, hey, how you doing, dude? How's your wife? And he'd go, well, actually, we got divorced back in November.
Shucks. Yeah, Sis Pumi can talk more about this tomorrow because she found data that speaks of what is happening in the UK.
Oh, yeah.
And this year sees the largest annual rise in divorces for almost 50 years.
Wow.
50 years.
Ooh. Two quick things before we get to headlines. I can't wait to have that discussion with Pumi. That's tomorrow, right? Okay, so first thing, this is interesting. Flax, this is from somebody who's been listening for years. Kala, he says, remember when your dad had a poop transplant?
I vaguely do.
No, he had like...
He's in good health now, though.
Okay, that's very good news. And this comes from Vincent. Vincent says, remember when Sia shat his pants? Of course.
That I don't remember.
See, I shat his pants. It's a whole story. I love it.
To Vincent and Kala, can't we remember great things about people? Yeah. You know, great things about Flax.
No, they only remember the lavatorial stuff. So Candace says she blocked Julius Malema and Kim Kardashian, and it's the best thing ever. And she's also blocked News 24 because fuck them, she says. So good for you, Candace. See? You have to... be your own editor. Like, this is why I don't blame the platforms or the government. I think it's up to you. You've got to be in charge. Like Sia was saying, just block the negative people and that kind of shit. You decide who you want to hear from. You decide what you want to follow. Okay, listen to this quickly. Some headlines for this morning, a couple of stories that you may want to know about. Commuters have been urged to use alternative transport on Wednesday. That's today amid the taxi march. Yes, there's another protest. The National Taxi Association said drivers will be marching to Transport Minister Fikile Mbalula's office and the presidency in China at the union buildings to submit a memorandum of demands. Some of their grievances include the refusal of the South African National Taxi Council to be the main leadership body of the sector. The industry said drivers had still not received the 1.3 billion rand COVID-19 relief fund for drivers. I the taxi industry is so complicated, and I'm not just saying that because I want to move on. I'm saying that because we can't do without them. It's the way most people get to and from where they need to go. But man, those passengers have no say in how things work. It's a complete inversion of the service economy. You know, if you are unhappy with the service of a certain company, you go to another company, right? Can't do that if you're in the world of taxis. If you're a passenger in a taxi, you have no say at all.
How does their business model work? Does a big gangster own the taxi association, or is it owned by government? Or
it's owned by gangsters who are also in government. So without knowing it, Flex, you just summarized the whole situation.
Let's not paint all of the taxi owners in the same brush.
Very many of them, a great majority of them, are not only gangsters and very dodgy people, but they also are connected to politicians. So Flex, actually, without knowing it, just gave us the best summary of all.
And who's sort of coming up with the pricing for certain routes, or is it per taxi? Is there price?
No, everything's collective here. So they determine what routes cost. The taxi owner puts pressure on the taxi driver to bring in X amount of money a day.
Oh, so the driver won't own the vehicle. The vehicle will be owned by an association.
No, very seldom does the driver own the vehicle. So we always complain about the drivers, but the drivers are not the actual problem. The drivers are they're a small wheel inside a much bigger wheel. It's the taxi owners, and those guys are very powerful. Remember, they're the ones who, in the first stage of lockdown, immediately made government bend to their will by saying, I'm sorry, we're not going to enforce your stupid rule of no taxis or
70%
passengers and 70%, then they said 100%. I mean, it just makes a mockery of the whole thing.
How are they tracking how many passengers are going in a taxi in a certain day know how much they must collect from the driver?
It's all money. It's all money. I mean, so the driver has to deliver a certain amount of money to the owner every single day, and they keep very good records. Listen, if you ever think that accounting is something you need to go and study at university, just get in a taxi, because the person in the passenger seat in the front has to collect all the money, and obviously they change through the course of a day, a different number of routes, but the driver is keeping a complete tally through the day. And it's the most incredible system. They have to have a really good memory. Some of them write stuff down. Some of them keep a record on their phones, but it's all very much kept in the form of a balance sheet. And you don't have to study accounting to see economics at work. Just get in a taxi for a day. You'd be fascinated to see how it works. Fascinated.
How big is this empire? Like, are we talking like one guy owns like 100 taxis or one guy owns all the taxis?
There are guys who own more than 100 taxis. There are very powerful people who can, you know, with a click of a of their fingers can make it impossible for thousands of people to get to work. That's how powerful they are. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Surely it should be controlled by government and like regulations in place. And
I just you said it yourself. They're involved with government. So if government, if there are people in, you know, some minister's family who own taxis, guess what? They could pressure that minister. So,
and then let's just look at the root of why they're protesting today. And I to and fro between looking at the taxi industry and going, that's a little admirable, or no, this is just a bad idea. There are so many other sectors who are still waiting for their poor payouts. Mm-hmm. You know, we have, the other day I went to a shopping center and there was a flautist standing outside and playing her little flutes, and she had a bag out for people to throw in some money. And you'd think, I wonder what happened to that arts and culture fund and where the payouts were sent there.
That poor person who plays the flute, they're fucked. They're never going to get their money.
We hear stories so often about these payouts not going to the right people, but in a brief moment, Taxi Association isn't paid, so they're saying, screw it, the whole country's going to...
Well, this is the thing. It's basically, it's extortion. So what they do is they threaten to shut down the economy, which they will today. They'll make it very difficult for a lot of people to get to work, and they can do that. They're basically threatening ordinary people. And they're making it very hard for ordinary people to go about their business. That is gangsterism 101.
But I also guess a flautist doesn't have the same impact.
Listen, I get that you and Flex are fascinated by the taxi industry, but we're only on one headline and we've got five. So we're going to move on. The second story is about Brackenfell High School, Friday's exams that have been scheduled there. We're on Tuesday rescheduled ahead of a planned protest by the EFF. Once more, the EFF have decided to disrupt learning at the school because of what they perceive to be some kind of race incident. Listen to last week's burning platform if you want to hear what this is all about. But Western Cape Education Department officials said all grade 11 exams would be rescheduled, but the school will remain open and classes for pupils will continue. EFF supporters are planning an anti-racism protest at the school on Friday morning. Well, why not do it in the late afternoon, guys? Why not do it at a time where the matrix aren't writing their exams? Why would you want to be the reason that matrix at a high school in South Africa who are working their backsides off to try and pass, why would you want to be the reason that they can't write an exam or that they fail their exam or that they're worried about their safety? These are kids. What kind of horrible people do this to children? Even if you perceive that there is a, you know, reason to protest that high school, are you protesting the kids themselves? Are you protesting what they think, what they do? Because there's something very evil and wicked and sinister about adult politicians doing this to children, no matter what the children are supposedly guilty of. Anyway, we'll have to see what happens, but this is what's going on Friday, so stand by for some noise in the news. Home Affairs Minister Aaron Motsoaledi said on Tuesday his department was not the only one responsible for Shepherd Bushiri's escape from the country. I don't know if you've seen that very funny clip where they interview the Minister of Information from Malawi, and the guy from Newsroom Africa says to him, so, Minister, how is it that the Bushiris managed to get into your country? So the minister goes, no, how is it that the Bushiris managed to leave your country? Which is exactly right. You know, there's a consequence after, you know, someone manages to get out of country A into country B, but country A is responsible for the fact that this one left. So Aaron Motsoaledi is embarrassed, as he should be, because it seems that we have the most porous borders in the world. We can't even keep criminals from crossing those borders, even when they're high-profile criminals.
Our borders are very porous.
Of course, yes, they are. Motsoaledi said that a number of departments in the justice, crime prevention, and security cluster would also shoulder some of the burden of responsibility. after allowing Bushiri and his wife Mary to flee to Malawi. Yes, Minister. Yeah, of course. Collective responsibility is never your fault. This is the big problem with the ANC. Is never you can never find anyone to say, you know what? My fault. I'm in charge. You know, like Ronald Reagan used to have a sign on his desk as President of the United States. Said, the buck stops here. If something goes wrong, there's someone in charge. You have to hold that person responsible. There's not one person in the ANC who's ever been responsible for anything that's gone wrong. They always say, oh, no, well, it's everybody's responsible. These guys are also, they pull these ones in. None of them have the balls. That none of them are man enough to stand up and be counted, including Aaron Motsoaledi. It's God. Not just me.
You know, if we let this thing play on long enough, it could even get to a point of someone saying, it was the team who actually put the fencing up at the borders.
Oh, yeah. Watch.
No, it wasn't. They didn't make it enough.
And when someone does get blamed, like when the Guptas landed at Watercliff Air Force Base, it's always some low-level, middle-of-the-range person who's essentially just a bureaucrat. And the person who made the decision gets off scot-free because guess what? The ANC is never, ever going to be a place of accountability. And that's also why everything in South Africa that has been fucked up by the ANC is going to just continue to be fucked up because no one's responsible. You know, if Sia doesn't do his job as the producer of this show, he gets into trouble. If I don't arrive for the recording of our TV show on Monday, I get into trouble. Flax, if you don't go to your job and you don't do your work, you get into trouble. So who are these who are these politicians who think they're beyond being held responsible for things?
But at least we have a new response from our president. He's not shocked in this case. He's extremely angry.
Well, we love to have emotion updates from how our president's feeling. Somehow this has become something we need in our lives. We need to know how he feels. We're his psychologists, are we? How about you do something about it, huh? How about you stop arriving on television telling us what we have to do to prevent the spread of coronavirus, which kills 0.001% of the people in the country? How about you stop telling us what to do? Wear a mask, wash your hands, let's all be responsible. Don't go and dance it up all night, as he said the other day. How about you stop telling us what to do? You tell your ministers what to do. Hmm? How about the guys who actually work for you, because you work for us, how about you tell them what to do, Mr. President? Amazon has launched an online pharmacy for U.S. consumers. Now, this is interesting. I mean, Amazon are just such a brilliant company. You don't have to like Jeff Bezos. You don't have to agree with the monopoly that he's created, because really it's very hard for anyone to compete with this. But man, if you can now order your drugs online, it means you don't have to go to the chemist.
And those Amazon Go stores where you don't even have to pay. You literally walk in, AR tracks every single parcel.
Right.
I think that's genius. I hate lines.
Mm.
So I like where this world's going with like the new introduction of like Checker 60 and like the improved delivery time. I ordered a leaf blower on Takealot yesterday. It's getting delivered today. Have you ever?
Isn't it exciting when you order something
3,500 watt mulcher.
Listen to you. Are you going to go around the garden, or have you got someone to do that?
These jacarandas are everywhere. They have covered the driveway.
I have a neighbor, and they are on that fucking leaf blower. I kid you not, for like 2 hours a day, you just hear this next door, non-stop for 2 hours every single day. It's not possible. We're in the height of summer now. It's not possible there's so much stuff for them to blow away every time. What are they doing?
That's why I went with the 3,500 watt, because R8, he's got like a 1,500.
Oh, now you want to man him up. Okay.
All right.
He's going to wake up.
It's always a contest.
Come Friday morning, 6 a.m.
You're going to wake up.
Leaf blowing.
Right. So Amazon have said that they're launching this online pharmacy, so you can order prescription medicines directly from them, and they will deliver them to you. They've acquired PillPack, which is an internet pharmacy offering pre-sorted dose packaging and home delivery. So now, if, for example, you have, you know, you're a diabetic and you need to get your insulin, now they can actually have that delivered to you. Pretty cool. I think that's brilliant. So genius move by Amazon. they will eventually be the only shop left. And that's just a sad thing, because obviously with competition comes improvement. But you know what? I think for people who are looking for convenience, as Flex said, this is a very good thing. This is a bit of a sad story. I didn't know who this was, but I saw the headline yesterday. A French stuntman who's famous for airborne feats using jetpacks and carbon wing fiber packs has been killed in a training accident in Dubai. Vincent Reffy was part of a company called Jetman Dubai. The 36-year-old went for he went viral for flights over the Gulf City's waterfront and the Alps. Statement said that he died during training in Dubai, but don't give any further details. An investigation into the death is now underway. Hey, listen. You know, you live by the sword, you die by the sword. If you're flying around with jetpacks, you may get away with it 100 times, but 101, something happens. I mean, everything. You know,
what a way to go, man.
Well, we don't know exactly what happened, but yeah, we'll have to see. All right.
But I mean, was it peaceful?
I doubt it was peaceful. So yeah.
No.
Yeah, he's just chilling.
I think there was jetpacks involved.
Those blowers are people who dream of having a motorcycle that don't have one. That's what Paul says. Those leaf blowers. It's not even near like nothing, a motorcycle, Paul.
Nothing grates me more than when someone vacuums their vehicle.
Oh.
That is so loud, because the vehicle's like in a driveway, which is right by like my window over here, and this oak literally vacuums his vehicle all day.
You know what? I reckon that the sound of someone vacuuming their car is exactly as bad as this asshole who's always leaf blowing next to me.
What are some things that neighbors do that annoy you besides like leaf blowers and that?
Listen, I mean, I try to stay away
from
my
neighbor who. Sorry, go ahead.
No, go for it.
I spoke about my neighbor the other day on the show who always sings with earphones on, and I still maintain that is one of the most annoying things, because it's one thing to sing freely and you're able to hear how you sound when you have earphones in. You can't tell, and that to me is top tier annoying.
There are a lot of things that irritate me, but I'm not involved with my neighbors like most people are. And it's not because I'm bitter and twisted or I don't like them, and they're probably very nice people. And I did go to a little like neighborhood street bri thing the other day, and I popped in for a drink, and they're very cool people.
Oh, that's nice.
No, they're very cool people, but I've got friends, and just because I live in the same area as you doesn't mean that I need to be your best friend.
And be on your WhatsApp group or...
Yeah, well, exactly. So we'll have to see. I think that what's irritating is if they have kids and the kids are like always making a noise, because there used to be people who lived near to me. I don't think they're there anymore. And they had two daughters who were really young, and they would scream the whole time. You know how little girls scream? Everything's exciting and they just scream the whole time? That is awful. I mean, that's really annoying, because it's this high-pitched noise. And, you know, your instinct, if a child screams, is to help. So you're constantly, like, on alert. It puts you in a stress mindset, because you don't know, you're not watching them. So you just hear these screams, and you're like, oh, shit, there's something wrong. And you have to train your brain not to react to it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I literally have the same sort of problem here, where their pool is by like our bedroom windows, fence, and you hear them screaming, and you don't know actually what's happening.
Right. I mean, like one of them could have bashed their head on the side of the pool, but they could also just be having fun.
Yeah.
Anyway, I mean, listen, Sarah says she's got a nympho neighbor. You remember Sarah? Sarah's got that neighbor who has very loud sex.
Oh, right.
In Dubai. But the good news is I had a showdown with her, and she has since toned it down. Wow. I want to know the details of how that conversation went.
Yes.
Yeah, how do you even open up that conversation?
Yeah. Tracy agrees those little girl squeals, they run down her spine. And Andre says, don't get me started on my neighbor who every day without fail rides his kid's scooter down the street. This thing sounds like a choking wasp The neighborhood dogs bark nonstop. Yeah, that's
you know what you,
that's also bad. Hey, if you've got a neighbor whose dog is always left at home alone, and the dog just howls and screams and moans for its owner and barks, that's annoying.
You know what needs to be banned in South Africa are these little things called wind chimes. Three in the morning, my neighbor's
really?
Ding, gust
ding,
of wind.
Ding, 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 ding. Yeah.
What did a wind chime ever do to you?
People love that shit.
It's so loud. That noise carries.
Yeah, people love that shit.
Glitter on wind.
Imagine me going there and saying, like, so my theory is I don't want to go ask him to take down the wind chime. I want to go there myself and literally just remove it without him knowing.
You know, people who hang up wind chimes, they tend to be kind of peaceful people. You know, they're like slightly hippie. So you got to be careful. You don't want to be aggressive with them. They won't take it well.
It's the last thing I'd bar for a house is a wind charm. No one like brings you a wind charm as a present, even. They know they're annoying, even to the homeowner.
Flax, Mbulelo wants you to say some words.
Oh, I already know which words.
Which words?
So just go ahead and say them.
Yeah, go ahead and say them without knowing what they are. Let's see.
Okay, tell me if I'm right. Pizza, alcohol. I feel like there's one more. Ice cream.
That'll work very nicely, thank you.
That Flax. In the words of the great Rihanna, don't let the bastards get you down.
You know, I was once in the tuck shop line, and I think I was like maybe 13 years old, and I went to the front, and I was like, can I please have a slice of pizza? And the lady was like, what? So I was like, a slice of pizza. She literally called the entire like production line, everyone in the tuck shop to hear me say pizza.
But I think I know there's also one extra one. The system you set when you leave the house to
alarm.
Protect your house. Oh, okay. No. That was the wrong word then. Sorry. No. I thought you used to say alarm or something.
Oh, no. You think of Elon Musk.
Yes.
Elon.
Elon Musk.
Elon.
Elon. Did you see he's now one of the rich? He's richer than Mark Zuckerberg. Yes. Dude from Pretoria.
I know, dude. There's still hope.
He's not claiming his Pretorianness anymore.
But there's still hope for us because he was from here. I mean, whether he appreciates it or not, I suppose it's part of his history. You know.
Like, I mean, there's hope in different ways. There's a South African who could possibly be in the White House now.
Who?
Yeah, who?
The Biden's
Hunter Biden's
daughter-in-law.
Hunter Biden's wife or girlfriend. Yeah, she's from Joburg. She's a Sandton Kugel.
No way.
Yes.
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 And she lives in the White House.
Yes. Woody says,
there's hope.
Woody says, did you just say ass, A-R-S-E cream?
Ass cream?
As an ice cream. Yeah.
Oh.
All right, very good. Okay, so a few things. We've got a little bit of time before we go to news. Flax, how's your dog?
My dog?
Yeah.
Oh, which one?
But you became a dog. You became a serious dog owner and enthusiast. Do you walk these dogs?
So I don't walk them as often as I should, but I've got all my roommates, and how it worked was from their previous homes, they basically took over the dogs from their previous tenants because their previous tenants weren't like treating the dogs right. So currently we have a sausage dog that's Dory, 16 years old with dementia. He literally gets lost in the house. He gets lost. You have to guard him to his bed sometimes, but he's adorable.
It's like Joe
Absolutely
Biden.
Adorable.
Question, how do you diagnose a dog with dementia? Like when do you realize, this is a problem?
He'll start like walking in circles and then he'll start like crying and then you just have to show him where to go to get to his bed and then he's happy.
Shame.
Also has zero control of his anal sphincter. Literally lets rip nonstop and it is terrible. But he's 16 years old, but he's adorable. So that's Dory. Then we have Lil Vice, who is little golden retriever. The cutest, most lovable dog
is it
ever.
Like, is that like a rapper name, like Little Vice, or is it his name
no,
Vice?
W-E-I-S-S, like the beer.
Oh, Vice, okay. But I thought you
perfect
called
name.
It, I thought you called it little L-I-L, you know, apostrophe Vice. Yes. Like
oh, rappers, no, it's like, like when you grow up with like a child or something, like it's always going to be your little child or little this or that. So he's adorable. He's just started swimming, swims all day. Literally, 6 o'clock in the morning, we'll jump in the pool. Hoppers nine at night, we'll get out the pool.
It's are you saying adorable. It's a Labrador?
Yeah, no, Golden Retriever.
Oh, God, those are such nice dogs. Oh, I love those dogs.
The most well-mannered, he literally barks once a month.
They are such awesome animals. Those are the best dogs. I'm telling you now, like, Carl's going to give me dirty looks, but I think if you don't want a little dog, a Labrador or a Golden Retriever is just the best thing. God, they're nice. They're such lovely nature. They're so friendly.
And then we've got Mascara, who is a half-wolf, half-husky.
Yeah, well, that sounds beautiful.
Absolutely the most beautiful dog. She gets compliments whenever we go for a walk.
Great coat, beautiful blue eyes, right?
So it doesn't have the blue eyes and doesn't have the coat because we shaved her for summer. You have to. If you have like anything that has husky in them, you have to shave them for summer. Mm. You can't let them overheat.
Yeah, it's cruel. It's actually because they're not used to this kind of climate, so it can be very, very difficult for them.
Yeah. And now at the moment, so I went to Arkansburg like 2 months ago for the long weekend, and we met a guy there, Goodness, and he had a little puppy there. I've never heard of this breed before, but it's called an Afrikaani.
I've never heard of it. I don't know about that. Okay.
I think it is called that.
That's correct. It's like a mix.
I think so. I think you can Google that.
I don't want that on my search history, but okay. Uh-huh.
And it's like a mixed breed dog, and he's now staying with us for a couple weeks.
Okay.
So now you have 4 dogs in total.
Yeah, and they honestly get along so well.
Who did he belong to?
It's a lot.
Goodness. Oh, the words Afrikaans.
Okay, I must look that up.
It's quite a cute dog. He's also a puppy. Yeah. He's like 4 months old.
That's very cool.
But they play all day.
All right, very nice. Very nice.
Too much going on there.
And by the way, because it's 7 o'clock, we've got to move on with things. We are going to be joined a little later on by somebody who we introduced to you last week. Brett Cohen is from the gas company. He's always got interesting things to talk to us about. And we're going to talk a little bit about a better way that we could have handled. It's always good to do these things in review. A better way to have handled the coronavirus. And he's got some ideas. And, you know, Brett famously doesn't say things just to please you. This is why we thought we'd bring him on and introduce this feature to you, because he's really got an interesting take on a lot of things, and he reads plenty, and he's, you know, he can design like hardware, and he runs this awesome business as well. And we thought this is the kind of guy we want to talk to. So he's going to join us at 7:30 to talk a little bit about the ways we could have better handled the coronavirus, you know, every part of it, because there's so many parts of it, as we discussed this morning when I read Anushka's message, that obviously have affected, you know, many people's lives. So all of that coming up on cliffcentral.com. You're here this morning with me and Sia and Flex, and Bulelo's running things in the studio. Good morning. Tell us what you're up to. Tell us what you've got on your mind.
Cliffcentral.com.